Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's a Razzball Podcast. Make some regulars
real fast. It's Razzball, baby. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined, as always on this podcast, by my sidekick, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. J.B., hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's another depressing week of real-life NFL fandom for me.
I don't know why you still bring up your Carolina Panthers. I think we should just put the kibosh on that for the rest of the season. It doesn't help.
Well, it's because it's a comedy, in a way, kind of like The Wicker Man. You know, it's so bad that it's funny.
You know, I'll tell you, I've actually, I have in a keeper league Cam Newton, where you can keep three keepers. No draft pick or dollar values to it, just any three keepers. And I've offered him in a bunch of trades this week. So
I don't blame you. Not that I have any reason to believe you watched any of this game, but in the last 2 minutes when the Bears drove down to score the game-winning field goal, it's literally like a five-year-old playing Madden orchestrated that drive. It was full spread, Brandon Marshall on a slant, 8 yards deep. So you could literally hit A four times, and you would have gotten down the field for a game-winning field goal against the Panthers. It was just horrifying.
That's an interesting analogy. I like it, actually. Like it. So, JB, we're doing something a little bit crazy today. We're going all backwards.
Freaky Friday.
I got nothing for tea for Tuesday.
Or Wednesday when it's Weird Wednesday.
There you go.
Like okay, it's a weird Wednesday, guys.
All right, there we go. So listen, let's hit some topics to get started. As always, if you just found this on iTunes, you want to hit razzball.com. Click on the football item icon. That will get you to the Razzball Football, where all our guys are putting all their posts. It's our posting corral, if you will. But here we go with today's topics. Let's start off with, is there a better QB wide receiver combo right now in the NFL than Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, that's a tough one to argue. You obviously got Matt Ryan to Roddy White. You know, Julio Jones is also emerging there, so that's kind of a tough one to pick. I really like the Dalton-AJ Green combo, especially since they're both second-year players, but that's more of a, you know, future look. But right now, that's a real tough one to argue.
I don't think there is an argument, because maybe Brady to Gronk. But Gronkowski's been nursing that sore hip. You're right. You know, Matt Ryan is in the conversation, but you're splitting between the two wide receivers. And who's Aaron Rodgers throwing to? I mean, his receivers are dropping like flies. In fact, let me ask you this. With the way that Rodgers' weapons are dropping, who'd you rather have right now for the rest of the season, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's still Aaron Rodgers. I know Manning is performing at a level that I even think the most optimistic fantasy owners would appreciate. But I'm still taking Rodgers. You know, it wasn't a good game last week for him. Still got two touchdowns, even with Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings out and the ghost of Tremichael Finley playing. So I think Rodgers can still get it done down the stretch. You know, I will say this real quick. It's hard to believe, but Eric Decker is still fairly close to Thomas getting two touchdowns last week. I know the yards and receptions aren't there, but my call of Decker being ahead of Thomas still isn't looking horrific right right now.
All right. I believe I brought this up last week, but I'm going to point it out one more time. This is why you need to trade today for Peyton Manning or Demaryius Thomas or Decker or McGahee or Ronnie Hillman, who we'll talk about. Here's the rest of season schedule for the Broncos. They are at the Bengals, at the Panthers. They host the Chargers. They go to the Chiefs. They host the Bucks. They go to Oakland. They go to Baltimore. And they finish at home against Cleveland and at home against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and just nothing on there scares you. And, you know, Baltimore, they're not the same team.
Forget scared. I mean, that's, I mean, I, you know, it's Halloween tomorrow night. And that, it's like putting a sheet over your head and cutting out two eye holes. There's nothing to fear there.
Yeah, well, I could make a really bad joke, but I won't.
All right. All right, let's keep going here with our topics. This weekend, did Matthew Stafford show you enough to get back into your good books? And I ask that specifically to you, JB, because I know you got a hate on for Mr. Stafford's fantasy skills.
Yeah, and talk about lucking out without by trying not to say the same thing every week. He was going to be a down call, a bench in my write-up, and I'm like, nah, I've talked about how I'm down on him too much, and all of a sudden he goes out and just shreds the Seahawks defense. No, to answer your question quickly, I still want to see it across a couple games to get him back to that elite level. I mean, he's already lost so much that he has not gotten you back the value drafting him where he was, so... I need to see it a couple more weeks to really vault him into that top five quarterback discussion again.
No, but would he be top eight?
It'd be close. I'd have to really look at it and consider it. I mean, you know, Cam Newton's dropping out of that. Obviously, Vic's out of that. Yeah, he's right on that line.
All right, fair enough. Let me ask you another question. With the current, I don't even know what to call Sandy right now. It's not a hurricane. I don't know if it's a the current weather conditions on the East Coast, they've moved the NFL trade line back to Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, if I'm not mistaken. And the reason I bring that up, oftentimes when a player gets traded to a new team mid-season, it's very difficult for him to catch up because obviously he doesn't know the playbook and the timing and the routes. But let me ask you this. How would you compare... I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. Let me ask you this. If you own Dwayne Bowe and he got traded to a really nice matchup, let's just say he went to Denver, just for argument's sake. And someone's excited because of they think, oh, Denver's got a great schedule, and this and that. I mean, that's got to be the optimal time to trade him because you probably don't want him on your roster, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. The first player that comes to mind, and this is going back a good while, is Chris Chambers. He had those really nice years in Miami. Then their quarterback position, I'm not even sure if it was still Fiedler or what was going on there, just got really anemic, and he was a real big bust, and then got traded to the Chargers, and everyone got crazy, and he just still didn't deliver. I think Bowe might even be a little bit more talented than Chambers, and so even though his quarterback position with Quinn and Castle is anemic as well, I'm not excited at all. If he gets traded and anyone is going to give you even 80 to 75 cents on the dollar for him, I trade him.
Now, what about another example would be Steven Jackson? Because I think that might be the one position at running back that if Steven Jackson went to a good opportunity, let's just say for argument's sake, Green Bay. Not that they would take on a salary, but let's say he went to play for the Packers. You would obviously look at him differently than you would a wide receiver, I'm assuming.
I completely would, because at the beginning of the season, we saw Benson get signed very late there and become a fantasy contributor almost right away.
Good point.
I could see Jackson getting plugged into that offense and being a contributor right away. I know they like Alex Green, but I think they'd like having a veteran there. That would be a real ideal situation where I'd actually reach for Jackson a little bit. But I doubt that he's going to have a bigger role than what he has right now in the Rams on any team.
All right. I play in a dynasty league, which is fairly competitive. And I traded Marshawn Lynch and Jeremy Maclin to get Darren McFadden and a pick. So let's just take the pick out of the equation. Let's take the pick and Maclin out of the equation just for this argument. What are the chances that Lynch, who has a very difficult schedule, is better than McFadden, who has a very easy schedule, the rest of the season? Is that a possibility?
I'd almost go as high as 50-50. I know Lynch doesn't bring you that reception game, kind of that third down back aspect to his fantasy value. However, Seattle is going to want to give Lynch the ball. We've seen Oakland get away from the run for long periods of time. We're going to see Oakland down in a lot more games the rest of the year, even though the schedule is idyllic for them. I actually like trading DMC away for Lynch. In a vacuum, just one for one.
Yeah, all right. So I probably messed up on that deal. Here, just so you know, here's the Seahawks' rest of season schedule. They play the Vikings, Jets, Dolphins, Bears, Cardinals, Bills, and 49ers. And if you play Week 17, they also get the Rams. So it's not a very appealing schedule if you are if you have Marshawn Lynch on your roster.
Yeah, I mean, a couple tough ones, but you got the Bills in there, and the Vikings are just falling apart on defense. So, I mean, you know, there's a couple okay to good ones in there as well, so I'm not as worried.
All right. Romeo Crennel, head coach of the Chiefs, doesn't know why Jamal Charles got so few touches this week. So what are your thoughts on Jamal Charles' rest of season?
I still think he's, if you're drafting today, he's obviously a high first round pick or at least middle first round pick. I know that he didn't bring back what you hoped for him last week. Man, one of my teams is I drafted Charles. I've got Calvin Johnson. I got DeMarco Murray and Chris Johnson. And man, that team on paper just looked unbeatable at the beginning of the year. And, you know, you get games like this and you're just questioning your life. But I still think they're going to give him the ball a lot. The other backs there, Peyton Hillis, Sean Drone, they're not the same quality back. I still think that they give him some big games.
All right, and last topic before we get into up and down. What's happened to the Chargers offense?
They got Norv Turner'd.
No, but Turner's been there for 5 years, so...
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer. Do you think there? I mean, Phillip Rivers just doesn't look the same. The receiving core around, I mean, Antonio Gates, maybe his decline in age has just been the whole key to that offense. I just don't know. I mean, when Ronnie Brown is your leading receiver by almost doubling Malcolm Floyd's yards, I mean, that's a red flag right there. So I'm just down on everyone to anything to do with Chargers right now.
Yeah, I think. Perhaps there's a lot of tread. Well, not perhaps, but perhaps part of the equation is there was a lot of tread on Gates' tires. I think the other skill position players there, you know, Matthews plays sometimes. The wide receivers, you know, they're really missing Steven Jackson. And I'm not saying Jackson's the only reason, but boy, I would not want to have a Charger on my offense. I wouldn't want any of them, even Matthews.
Yeah, and the thing is we've seen Rivers, you know, even, yeah, Vincent Jackson was there, but in previous years there were some times when there were no receivers there and he was still putting up numbers, and I think it's just a big part of it's Gates and a big part of it's got to be Rivers is probably trying to force things a little bit.
All right, very good. So we're going to get to the up and down portion of today's podcast. What we did this week to switch it up, well, quite frankly, it's because JB there, Mr. Big Carolina, had an audition at an all-male review. I'll just leave it at that today. So I had to do the up-down. So we flipped this up. So JB's going to throw them out, and these are my up-and-downs, who I'm up on and down on in each of these games. And I'm sure JB will have plenty to argue with me.
Yeah, I'm just going to say wrong after every one, every time, just to kind of keep the roles in order. So without further ado, let's get started.
I'm just glad that you didn't contest the fact that you were trying out for an all-male review today. So.
Actually, everyone so, that was game. There were male, so it's kind of tough, but it was not that sort of thing. I'll leave that to you and David Wilson. So moving to the Thursday games, we've got Kansas City at San Diego. It's a Thursday night game, NFL Network, 8:20. Who is your up, Mr. Capozzi?
Nobody. This is going to be arguably the worst game of the year. I don't want anyone from either of these teams on my team. Obviously, Matthews and Charles are ownable, as is Bo, but if I'm starting any of those guys, I feel in some way I've mismanaged my team this year.
Really? So you don't think that Ryan Matthews is an interesting play coming off a 24 carry for 95-yard game?
I'm from Missouri. Show me. One game does not, especially from him.
Show me.
I need to see multiple games. I need to see what he can do over the long term before I wouldn't. Oh boy, I don't do rankings, but if I did, even though it's the Chiefs, he would not be high on my list this week.
Yeah, the Chiefs giving up the sixth most points to opposing running backs. I think Matthews is going to have a really nice game here. I think that the Chargers get back on track on offense in this one a little bit, with a lot of it emphasis on the run. Who's your down?
Everybody. I think I just made that pretty clear. But let's say I am particularly down on, I think, Philip Rivers. I don't know what to do with Philip Rivers at this point. And even though it looks juicy against the Chiefs, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the Chargers come out and have a statement game, but right now I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. All right, so let's move to Sunday. We've got Denver at the Cincinnati Chili. I mean Bengals.
Three-way chili. You got to get the three-way style chili in Cincinnati.
Don't they put it on noodles too, right?
They put it on noodles. Pasta. They put the, they do that. And then they put the, what are those crackers called? The kind of crackers you put on like seafood chowder. It's escaping. They'll toss that on top. I know,
they're like hexagons.
Yeah, and then with all the cheese and, oh yeah, three-way chili.
Sounds good. Who are you up on?
Definitely Ronnie Hillman. I like him as a compliment to McGahee. I like just how the passing game is opening up holes. I could see Ronnie Hillman having maybe the second half I was hoping David Wilson would have.
Wrong. You want to know why Ronnie Hillman had a good game? It's because they played the Saints, and it's because they outright raped the Saints. I mean, let's be honest. The Saints are absolutely terrible against the run. Denver, they knew they were going to win this game when they woke up in the morning, and it was a night game. So, I mean, they knew it for a good while. I think this was just a function of the game. Willis McGahee ran all over him. Then Hillman came in and ran all over him and, you know, got the sloppy seconds and junk time. I don't think that he's going to be much of a factor for the next few games.
Interesting.
Who are you down on?
Who am I down on? You know what? I'm not down on anybody in this game. In fact, I think this is actually going to be a shootout, not just because of how Denver's playing, but I could see, you know, touchdown Demaryius Thomas, then touchdown AJ Green, then touchdown Eric Decker, then touchdown Jermaine Gresham. I think this might be a shootout. I'd be comfortable starting pretty much everyone in this game.
Wrong. I, as a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in a couple of leagues, he's a lead back on a pretty good offense and is just having all sorts of problems.
But I think we've already
absolutely no rushing attack that was consistent against Denver. Yeah, Pierre Thomas averaged 5.4 a carry, but only had 8 rushes. I am not at all confident starting him this game. He won't get catches. He's not going to get probably more than 15 carries, and who knows how affected those will be.
Listen, that's fair. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think, I guess I'll just put it this way. I think we've already established that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not someone you'd want to start just from the podcast we've had this week. But you know what? Fair. I should have brought it up.
Yeah. The only reason is with bye weeks still a big factor. He's probably going to be started in over half of leagues he's owned in, I'm guessing. But I'll look at those numbers at the end of the week before my last second decisions piece, which comes out on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. So let's go to the next game. We've got the Chicago Bears at the Tennessee Titans. Who are you up on?
I am up on Matt Forte, who I think is one of the most underrated running backs in football. Not as sexy as the other running backs because he's not a TD machine, but he gets touches every week. And one of my philosophies when playing fantasy football is, don't give me boom or bust guys. Give me the guys who are going to get touches every week, and Forte touches the ball every week.
Yeah, I completely agree. Forte's a beast, and not only is he guaranteed to touch the ball in the running game because Chicago is going to be up a lot, but even if for some reason the running game's not working or they're down, he's a huge part of that passing game. I completely agree with you.
Cool.
Who are you down on?
Kenny Britt. I liked him a lot going into the season. I thought there was great value there late, but I just don't see any consistency in the offense other than Kendall Wright, actually. So I am down on Kenny Britt, especially against Chicago.
Yeah, the Tennessee receivers are just, you know, throw their three heads on a wall and throw a dart, and you're just hoping, well, man, that sounded completely wrong. You know, throw their three jerseys on there. That sounds less violent. And one of those guys is going to have a big game. Kenny Britt, yeah, he was a huge sleeper pick. He's been okay, but he's droppable if you really need someone else. Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, so moving on, we've got the Detroit Lions at the 1-6 Jacksonville Jaguars. This could be a big game for the Lions offense to really open up. Who are you up on?
I am up on, you know what? Everyone else can be up on Titus Young, who's actually Titus Young Sr. now, which is great. I guess he had a son, but I don't know if you need the senior on your jersey. But I am, you know what? I could see Calvin Johnson blowing up against Jacksonville. I could see 150 yards and two touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, I could too. And man, and my most important league, I went up against Titus Young, and that was just absolutely brutal, especially with having Calvin Johnson in a couple other leagues, and he drops a for sure touchdown, and then the next one goes right back to Titus Young. But yeah, I agree with you there. I think Titus Young, while definitely startable as a wide receiver three, can be useful, but I wouldn't get too crazy on him. I agree with you that Johnson could have a big one here. Who are you down on?
I am down on Mikel LeShour. I saw way too much of Bell for my liking. Plus, if you're that big, you need to score touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree with you. Too many pass plays from the 1 yard line. Just no faith in the scoring game. It doesn't help LeShour that he fumbled in the red zone 2 games ago. It's hard to really have complete faith in him as your running back. I will say I do think he's still a flex play for this game because of how bad Jacksonville's defense is.
Agreed.
Yeah, they limited Green a little bit, but I semi-agree with you. So, all right, moving on. We've got the Arizona Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers. The Cardinals going to get melted in Lambeau if the weather stays as cold as it has been in the Northeast lately. I forgot to ask you, how has the weather been impacting you up there above the border?
In Toronto, we've just had some secondary precipitation. It's been, you know, not a great week, but obviously nothing to the extent of what's been happening in New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that all my friends in the Northeast are getting hit, and I'm in North Carolina in Hurricane Alley and didn't really get anything. But anyway, who are you up on for this game?
Well, very exciting news. Kurt Warner is coming out of retirement to No. Who am I up on in this game? You know, it's kind of tough. It's difficult for me to pick anyone on Green Bay's side. And, you know, same thing on Arizona. Look, it's easy to say, oh, I'm up on Aaron Rodgers. But I think the reality is Arizona's defense is still pretty good. The games haven't been close lately because their offense has been so terrible. So, you know, I'm not up on anybody, quite frankly.
Yeah, I can see that too. It's, you know, but hey, at least when I play my normal role, I still have someone ready. Just kidding. I did see that Kurt Warner has a home for sale. So maybe he is trying to get a little contract in. Who knows?
Hey,
who are you
go.
Down on?
You know what? I'm going to actually say Aaron Rodgers in this game because who's he going to throw to other than Randall Cobb? And maybe I'm too much of a believer in the Arizona defense, but I think Arizona might keep it closer than we realize. I think they're due for a tough punch them in the mouth kind of game. So I am down on Aaron Rodgers in this game.
Wrong. Just when you doubt Aaron Rodgers a little bit, he comes up with a huge game. We saw that against the Texans. People weren't quite sure what to expect after kind of a rough start, and he goes out and throws 6 touchdowns. I think, yeah, Arizona's going to play hungry, but, man, Alex Smith just went 18 for 19 on him with 3 touchdowns. That secondary's going back to the drawing board. They're going on the road to Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers might have a real nice game here.
All right, well, we shall see. Listen, I guess all I'm saying is it's easy to say Rodgers is going to have a good game, and I think he might not. So,
yeah. Well, we shall see.
We shall.
Let's move on. Miami at the Indianapolis Colts. Who are you up on?
I am up on Reggie Bush, who has a great rest of season schedule. Also, he's a free agent this offseason, so I could see Miami just running him into the ground.
I agree with that to some extent. I don't think that there's going to be any sort of maliciousness. I think they're going to want to showcase him both for Reggie Bush and for, you know, the team.
Timeout. They will not be showcasing Reggie Bush, my man. The NFL season is so compressed and jobs are so few and far between. No coach is going to risk that. I think that They have to run him as much as they can. I think that's another reason, too. They drafted Lamar Miller this year, so you can have Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller. I don't think Reggie Bush will be back in Miami this year, and I definitely don't think Miami will be doing him any favors.
But well, when I say showcase, I meant that in kind of agreement, as in have him be kind of a centerpiece and use him a lot. Not as any sort of like flaunting him as trade bait or anything like that. That was probably my fault on my semantics.
Well, I will leave it at that.
You down on?
You know what? I'm down on Donald Brown. Vic Ballard made a demo tape last week for Cirque du Soleil. Did I say that anglophony enough? Did you see that touchdown by
Vic? How would you say it? Ultra French.
Cirque du Soleil. Cirque. No, now you're putting Cirque du Soleil. No.
Yeah, that sounds like. I'm not even going to go there. Go on.
But Vic Ballard, you know, I think is going to emerge and carve out more of a role, especially against that Miami defense. I hope you don't have to start Donald Brown.
Yeah, I completely agree. Both guys are not people I'm going to want to look at this week. All right, let's move on to what is going to be.